It's time once again for an outstanding episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 30 Rack Way, the beautiful Buckatorium. Fantastic, lovely time this year. Time of lovely weather this time of year. New Windsor, Illinois. God, I couldn't get that one out. This is the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. I'm Steve, and the studio today is Doug.
Yo.
Kurt.
What's up?
And Eric.
How's it going?
See,
Mixing up your order.
Yeah, I didn't put you last this time.
So. I like that. I appreciate that. I was right in the middle. I felt like part of the family.
Yeah. Or second to last.
Yeah, well, I saved the shittiest for last. Eric, you cut your mullet, you idiot.
Yeah, I know. I did. I got all fucked up and cut it off.
Oh, that's acceptable. Oh,
that explains a lot.
That's fine. It is now.
That's what happened.
Did you regret it in the morning?
Not really. I feel like a new man, actually.
I bet.
You feel wind on your neck again?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
What's that breeze?
God, how'd your wife take it?
She loved it.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Really? Was she bummed out about the mullet?
She wasn't bummed out about it. She was
just embarrassed to be around you.
Yeah, kind of.
The problem is you wore mullet and Crocs at the same time.
Yeah, I know. Great combination.
Hey, you're a true red-blooded American. Hence the cover art for your turkey episode.
That's right. That's right.
And by the way, I have that in queue to print out and hang in the studio, because that's one of the best cover arts I've ever made.
It's fantastic.
It is great.
So terribly incredible.
Jesus. Speaking of red-blooded Americans, good red-blooded Americans, I got a vet shout-out.
Let's hear it.
Vet shout-out this week is a guy. Now, I'm sure a lot of you guys are quarantined, so you're looking for content. This cat's name is Donnie O'Malley. All right, he's a vet, and he's part of that Vet TV. So these guys are just a bunch of veterans that get together and make comedy. It's hilarious shit to watch, and you should definitely go support them. So, you know, Donnie, thank you for your service to this country, and thanks for providing laughs. So any guys that, you know, are vets that half the shit I don't get, because I'm like, I didn't serve. I think that's only a joke that they serve. Yeah. But, hey, I want to support these guys. They make me laugh, and they're vets too, so it's even better. So go check out this Donnie O'Malley on Instagram, and then Vet TV's on there as well.
Cool.
Thank you for your service.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for your service.
I'll have to check that out. Have you been watching that a while?
Yeah, I stumbled across it about like a year or two ago, and I think they're on. You might be able to get some of the stuff on Roku, Vice, Instagram. You'll be able to find links. So it's they have enough content on like Instagram TV that you can kind of watch when they do things like that. So yeah, just the little clips that. Between that and fucking TikTok videos, dude.
Oh, don't do it.
Too much
get sucked into the black hole.
I haven't downloaded it.
Dude, it's
a dark hole.
It's a dark hole.
Yeah, it's like watching a train wreck. You have to watch. It's like you don't want to admit that you're on it, but
like you remember clicking through YouTube videos for like 3 hours.
Oh yeah,
TikTok is faster, and it's just more.
It's rapid fire.
yeah, dude, mine
rapid fire dumb shit right into your brain.
Mine is a mix of Modern Warfare, pro wrestling, and hunting shit. So you'll see guys like. You guys out there, like, you know, showing duck hunts, and then all of a sudden, here comes, like, you know, Randy Orton, like...
Dude, half my shit gets deleted. If I try to post something, like, I can't ever post anything.
Really?
Yeah, I probably tried to post, like, 12 things on there after, like, lately, and it, like, always gets deleted, so I try something else hunting-related, and they delete it.
Is it always hunting-related?
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Well, what else would it be?
I don't know. I posted a video of me shooting a fish that hasn't gotten taken down yet.
Oh, just wait.
I haven't seen that one.
The antis, they listen to this.
They're here. They're collecting. They're collecting.
On with our show. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports.
That's right.
Worked with them a while now, and all good stuff. I'm excited. Taking the Tetra to Bear Camp this month. So I'm hoping I can.
Taking it out this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I am taking it out this weekend. Two different HHAs. I can't remember. I'm bringing Sam's bow, her elite. She has an elite spirit set at 40 pounds. I'm going to try and decap a bird there. Then if I get frustrated and want to body shoot him, I got the Ritual 35 with some slick tricks on it. So
just sitting there waiting.
Kurt's ready to body this turkey.
Yeah, something's got to happen, man. So we'll see. Illinois sucks for turkeys just because, for me anyway, limited time and you can only hunt till one. But we'll be out there. Podcast. We don't really need scent crusher for turkeys, but it's a good idea if you got deer coming to your area and they don't want to blow the turkeys out of the air to not smell like an asshole. So check out scent crusher.
Literally.
Thermosy will be. You like that?
Who's this asshole up wind? I'm not going up there.
Never going there. Going to listen to that ad. Be like, that's what we pay for. Yeah. This is what happens. Also, Thermosy, because we're going to be sitting on them trying to kill turkeys this weekend. Victory Archery, because you got to whip one upside the head with an arrow. Mm-hmm. That's the game plan. Gator Outdoors. I think Mr. Wade is going to be at Turkey Palooza this weekend, so that's exciting. Gator Outdoors is a lifestyle brand, and I love what they're doing. You can buy your custom gear set up there, but the code WCB doesn't work like it does at onewithcustomgear.com. But it'll probably change. It'll probably work now. See what I did? I'm sorry, Wade. I do this on the fly. but yeah, Gator Outdoors, you can get all your goodies through there. They're actually, for the poacher shirt, we teamed up, and they printed those for us, and we split the cost so we could donate more money. We did the pre-order for 3 weeks or something like that, and sold a chunk. So we got $600 we're donating to conservation of some sort, probably something to promote ethics of hunting and help hunters or something. I don't know. We haven't decided. I'm spitballing. One with Custom Gear Elite Archery, big time, WCB 2020, save 20% on food plot seed right now. Hunter's Blend Coffee, Old Barn Taxidermy, Can Cooker. I'm slurring. I need another drink.
Yeah, you might as well. Well, you might don't get double vision because you won't be able to look at your Leupolds as well, bro. If you got double vision, you might be seeing too many birds, bro.
You're doing good lately, man. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, you know why? It's because I quit fucking drinking.
Wow, well, that's not very much fun.
I know. It's all right.
That's why he's moving out.
Yeah, Doug's like, you're out of here, bro. You can't drink.
So you shot some fish, huh?
I did. Actually, it was a whole lot of fun. It was on like a whim. Brandon called me. Our good buddy Brandon McQueathen. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. Just kind of hanging out playing video games. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to pick up my boat out of storage. I'm like, let's go put that shit in the water. He's like, I don't even know if the batteries are going to work. I'll check them. I'll call you back. He calls me back like 2 hours later. Batteries are at 100%. You want to go? I'm like, fucking rights. So getting right out there and go. I head out. And dude, we got there in a good time because I don't know that much about how these waterways go, but essentially like when the algae's starting to creep in, it's only on like half the lake right now where we're at. And in another week, yeah, you probably wouldn't be able to see down in there in the areas you wanted to get. So yeah. It was cool. We got there. You know, it's probably not going to be the same if we were to go back this weekend or.
How many fish you shoot?
I shot about four or five, I think.
How many did you miss?
Three of them. Because it's, 30? You know.
It's hard.
It's hard, it's tough. And, well, you know what? I take that back. I think I missed.
We should all do that. That's a fun thing.
Oh, man. It is.
I haven't done that in like 2 years. It's so much fun.
I've never done it.
Never, ever, man. Never have?
Never.
I've never done it from a boat.
I did it. Me and Tank made it like a shit bow fishing John boat and spray painted the plywood platform that we made with Bedliner. We shot a lot of fish, like Barstow, Illinois, like floodwaters and shit.
Yeah, this dude, it was kind of cool. We were going down, and the water was up high enough. We were able to get back into some spots, and it just it's such a fun feeling when you get in there because you're like, oh, dude, this feels fishy. And
I do know what you mean. Yeah.
Not something's fishy. This feels fishy. But yeah, we got in there, and there was parts where we were just hammering them. And again, it's a little bit different trying to shoot these fish out of because you got to aim lower, and if they're facing you right on, it's like a hard shot. I ended up shooting I think I might have missed more than three. I think it might have been up like six, but I know there was a couple that
just
doubled them.
It was like
12. I don't know.
It was a long night.
Could have been 30.
Yeah, it was a long night, but you know, there's times where you were looking, there's a good sized fish, and you would look and it's right by a tree. You're like, not gonna risk that. But the scariest part of that whole night was, dude, we started getting back into some spot, and whoever was, you know, living near where this area is, it sounded like a private residence, dude. They were blasting off a 22 a lot. Like you know, when you ever hear a guy like shooting a 22, like occasionally, like, you know, run through like a whole mag or something.
Yeah.
It was constant for like 2 hours. And the closer we got, it's like, I know we're like lit up because the way that Brandon's boat, this is late at night. He's got like a lot of lights on there. You light up everything. It's like, they may know we're here or they may not, but they may be shooting in our direction thinking nobody's going to be out there. Yes. So we kind of turned around and then we went back and got closer because the fishing was pretty good up that area. So we're like, Well, we didn't get shot last time we were there, so we could probably just not go as far. But yeah, you can start hearing the shots ringing. We didn't hear anything coming near us, but we played it safe. And
where the hell were you?
Oh, it's a little super secret spot.
Oh, all right, sorry. I
don't want to
blow up your carp spot.
thanks for that long carp story. Yeah, dude,
I was like trying to act interested for as long as I could.
Dude, talking about the water, I'm like, oh boy, we're going deep.
Well, let's transition. So Aaron from the Fall Podcast is on this show. I was just on their show and I had a really good time. I really enjoy their podcast. I like their style. I like how it's comfortable to listen to. When I did their episode, we focused mostly on whitetail. I mean, all whitetail related stuff, which was a lot of fun. So he might be disappointed when he jumps on this podcast. He's like, oh, these guys are morons.
It's going to surprise him.
Yeah, we're used to it.
Yeah. It's like, what's up, man? He's like, man, I'm disappointed in that one. But no, I had a lot of fun on his show. And with everything going on and in limbo between Turkey Palooza, I'm like, holy shit, we have an opening like this week. You want to jump on? He's like, oh, all right. It was just last minute planning. So jump on here, chat with him a little bit, kind of give him the working class style interview, which is probably terrible compared to the interview that he gave me. So it's not an interview, it's a conversation, but it'll be fun either way. So, all right, I'll meet you when you get him on.
All right, on the phone with us, we got Aaron Blicey. Now, we know him as Aaron Blicey, but you guys might know him as something else. But if nobody knows who you are, Aaron, who are you?
Not a lot of people do know me, man.
Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, I do like to fly under the radar, I hope. But I do put myself out there a little bit, kind of like a woman at a bar, I guess. I don't know. I just...
Oh. Well, don't worry. I got my eye on you, sweetie.
Perfect. Well, yeah, man, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, tell everybody what you do. I know if they already listened, which they should if they haven't, I just was on your podcast and I had a great time and you just jumped on short notice pretty much is what happened. But tell everybody what you do.
Well, I live someone's dream. I don't know whose it is, but I do live someone's dream. All my buddies are pissed at me. But what I do for a living is I produce hunting television shows. So since 2012, I've been employed with the Kiefer Brothers, and I film in the fall and throughout the year, and then once those shows go to air on Sportsman Outdoor Channel, I'm basically the one who's editing and producing them, so putting the storylines together and doing all the stuff from music and color and all that stuff. So I sit behind a computer for half the year, and then the other half I'm filming. I filmed Casey. Him and I have been attached at the hip. I see him more than my wife since 2012. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically in a nutshell what I do and living it up, man, because I don't think I'll probably be able to do it forever.
That's awesome, man. That is probably, I'd say, a lot of our listeners' dream job, man, for the most part.
Yep.
Does it feel like work?
You know, the only time it feels like work is when I come home and I want to go hunting like at my farms here in Michigan or something, and I feel like I have to have a camera or a cameraman with me. Mm-hmm. When that is, to me, it's just kind of like I just want to go out and sit in a tree and just relax and just be me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've been filming my hunts since I was 16. I'm 33 now. One day when I was 16, my football coach in high school, he was our video productions teacher, and I got into video productions in high school. I'm like, you know what? You see all these Realtree and Primos guys doing this stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go do this. So my buddy and I went out and I filmed my first kill, him killing a doe. And I put it to a Three Doors Down song when I edited it. So,
yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Right on.
There was no cuts. It was just all dead roll. Just didn't know what B-roll was, nothing like that. And then my teacher's like, why don't you put it on the announcements for all the whole school to see? And nowadays, if you do that, you'd probably get locked up or something.
For sure.
I was like, no shit. So he let me edit it together and put it on the announcements, and like all my classmates and everything loved it. And I'm like, well, shit, maybe. And honestly, ever since then, I wanted to do something like this, you know, for a job and in a long form. Does it feel like work? It only feels like work when I try to go hunting and I feel like I got to have a camera. So. But ever since then, I've filmed every hunt basically since I was 16. So,
dang, so that's awesome. Is there a time where you don't take a camera with you?
There is. not last year, two hunting seasons ago, I shot my first 4-year-old in Michigan, and I didn't have a camera with me. And
did you feel weird?
it did feel weird, and I got pissed. I kind of hit him high, and I didn't have that footage to go back and look at, but it was like I felt like I should have had that content for our show.
Yeah.
They don't force it on us, but I felt like, damn, like that's a good storyline. I knew that deer for 3 years, watched him grow up on a farm that it's only got 4 acres of timber on it. And I shot him in 4 acres. And it was like,
that's awesome. That makes me very happy, because that's what I have at my house.
Yeah. I've got this little piece of heaven, I like to call it. And it's actually got 1 acre on one side of the road. It's an 80-acre farm field with 1 acre. And I get, religiously, I can get 3 or 4 year old bucks to live in it.
No kidding.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, the last 3 years I've been doing quite a bit of work to get it that way. And now it's just, the tough thing is trying to hunt it.
So tell me.
It's only 1 acre.
I want to get back to like your job and stuff, but I don't want to forget. Like, what are you doing to that small patch?
I'm just gonna ask that.
That makes it better. You know what I mean? I mean, I have ideas, but like, what are you doing to that small of a spot?
So to kind of go back to the podcast, Kurt, that you were on with me, and you had talked about, you know, you like to hunt those out of the box places. Like, it might be an oak tree out in the middle of a section. Literally think of that in the middle of a farm field section. It is a 1 acre piece of, it's a triangle. And honestly, it's about eight-tenths of an acre, I guess, if that sound makes – it's just shy of an acre.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got it's flatter than a pancake. You can watch your dog run away for 2 days, stand on a beer can and watch him run for three where I live. So it's flatter than shit here. But basically, it's that part. Like, the neighbors – I've got it pretty good, because this mile section, there's only about 3 bow hunters, maybe 2, and that's including me, in the whole mile section. But when gun season comes, I mean, it's everybody and their brothers in every fence row.
Yeah, sure.
So, but that's kind of, it's that out of the box area where these bucks take these does, and you just have to be there to get them when they're coming through, basically. So what I did 2 years ago, well, 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was 2 winters ago, I went in there and just started hinge cutting the shit out of stuff, just putting trees on the ground. There was a lot of dead ash in it, so they really weren't doing much of anything. I must have cut, 70 trees maybe.
No
and
shit.
Just started, yeah. Creating.
That would scare me a little bit, man.
In a 1 acre patch, that's a lot of fucking trees.
Yeah, it might not have been that much, but I'd say 50 to 70, somewhere in there. And honestly, I don't know if you guys know who Jake Ehlinger is. He's like a habitat guy, and he lives in southern Michigan. He kind of come up and helped me, and he kind of had a plan, but I'm like, just, we're dropping trees. And honestly, what had happened is all the research I was doing, it was like, these guys that are making buck beds are like, you need to have a canopy over them, and you need to have this, and this. And what had happened is, what we did is we dropped all these trees, and we left like I would say it's probably 10 yards by 10 yards opening in the center of it. And around it, it's just thicker and shit. And what I did is I went in there and made trail systems through the whole thing. I mean, I took I took a chainsaw for like 2 days and just started cutting trail systems through there. And my whole objective was I wanted a deer to come in there and have to have him spend time in there. I wanted him to spend 3 to 5 minutes in there instead of just being able to walk through in 30 seconds.
Right.
So the trail systems I made, I would only let them go about 8 to 10 yards, and then they had to cut one way. So he had to like kind of maze his way through to kind of check it all out. And then I just hunt him on the perimeters, on the points basically. And I haven't been able to hunt it a lot just because I'm from October 20th until, you know, basically the first of the year, I'm gone filming. So I haven't been able to hunt a rut here in Michigan since 2012. So
hey, that's a sacrifice, right, for your dream job.
It is, it really is. Yeah. And the first year it worked out pretty good. I put a camera, I went in there, I spread frost-seeded clover in the middle of that just to see what happened. I put a camera in there, let it sit all year. I never went in there, and to my surprise, I went in there and I learned more just on that camera pull than I've probably ever learned about deer behavior and what deer are doing in that small confined area than I ever have. I had a buck come in, figured he was probably a 3-year-old, probably right at 130. He came in at 8 o'clock in the morning. He bedded down right in that middle section. He bedded there, never moved for 8 hours. And he got up and he stretched out. You can see it's all on video. I got it on video.
For 8 hours?
Yeah, he stayed there for 8 hours. And he got up, stretched out, and he turned around, and like a dog, he just kind of like moved his feet a little bit.
And laid and back bedded, down.
Laid back down. And what had happened? I went to Weather Underground, and I was like, what the hell happened on that day that made him do that? Well, at whatever time it was, I can't remember, it was like, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock or something like that. It was a big wind shift. And yeah, the wind shifted. Yeah. He got up and moved around, bedded right back down. He bedded there for like 3 more hours. And then got up right before last light and moved on.
Fuck, that is interesting, man.
In case you ever wonder, where Big Bucks hang out, right fucking there.
Well, that's the thing, man. That is why, like, I have that motivation sometimes to try those weird spots. And
well, that's I have a spot that sounds just like this where I shot that deer. That
your old buck, your 8-year-old buck, right?
No, where I shot that deer a couple years ago, where I couldn't find him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
a little yeah. 1-acre spot, and you can look all the way around you and not see a patch of trees for fucking miles.
And the whole time yep. while you're explaining that, Aaron, I'm thinking of a spot I have. My dad killed a buck there a few years ago, real big. It's just a fence row, but at the end is like an acre chunk. And that's what I was imagining the whole time. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I remember scouting that one spot, and it's like there's a lot of deer activity. Like there's deer sign in there. Maybe it's at night. Who knows what it is? I didn't know at the time. But it's just like a – you never see them when you sit there. But my dad ended up killing that buck there. So like you said, you got just –
pictures of those giant deer I get are from that 1-acre spot.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of my house too, so –
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I told you when I saw your spot, you're like, there's not much. I'm like, yeah, but there's enough.
Oh, yeah, there's enough here.
But, yeah, I mean, just imagine. That's so interesting. And I never would have thought to do that to kind of direct them. So you directed them with your hinge cuts, and then you cut your pass through those hinge cuts.
100%. So Jake's biggest thing, I mean, I'll be totally honest with you, I didn't know. I knew how to hinge cut trees, but I didn't know there was, like, all these different types of hinge cutting and how to do, like, you know, layering and stuff like that. And he helped me out. Like, he knows his shit when he comes to this. And he's like, this is what we're going to do. And we kind of laid it out. And, yeah, we basically dropped all these trees. I mean, you start with the big ones and drop the little ones on it. And I've now, in 3 years, I have new growth coming off some of these hinges that I can hinge those new growth. That's how thick it's getting. Well, basically, we just dropped all these trees. And then you figure out where you want your pass to go. It's hard though. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it's a spot where you go and you might hunt it 3 times a year and not see a damn deer. But the 4th time you're going to see the buck that you're after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just hope that, but the thing is, that's the shitty part is I want to leave it set until my favorite time to hunt is that last week of October, leading right into about the 2nd of November.
Yeah.
And Michigan anyway, because, you know, here, if you can get a 3-year-old killed with a bow, you know, that consistently, that's what you're striving to do in my area anyway. I've only been able to kill a few of them here. But it's, and like I said, I shot my first 4-year-old a couple years ago and hit him high, and then he got hit by a car, and I had 7 encounters with him, coupled with a gun that I couldn't get on him. And then he ended up getting hit by a car November 18th.
God damn.
I was at work. My brother-in-law, he's a farmer. He's a dairy farmer, and he farms the land. It's his land that I hunt. And he calls me, and I named the deer Jim Abbott. I'm a big baseball fan. I don't know if you guys know Jim Abbott is.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yep. This deer, he only grew a 1 side for 3 years of his life, so he had like a strong arm, you know, and then a weak arm. So I named him Jim Abbott, and he goes, he calls me, he's like, Jim's, you know, dead in the ditch right here, got hit by a car.
It sounds and wrong.
Like, you're like, Uncle Jim?
Dude, Jim Abbott died. What the fuck?
Yeah. I felt bad, you know, like we did a podcast about it, and I'm like, I hope the real Jim Abbott doesn't listen to this because he might think I hate him. But I'm like, I really, it's more of like a remembrance to him.
It's an honor.
Like, he was so good. Yeah, it's an honor. But
so Jim's like, okay. Dead in the ditch. That sucks.
Yeah, I called the DNR to get a salvage tag. I'm like, I'm going to do this the right way. And I'm going to – thing is, I was going to drive home and get him, but it was an hour there, an hour back. And I'm like, I don't need to leave work in the morning to go do this. Went home. I hadn't been home in a month. Had dinner with my wife and daughter. went at back after dark, and somebody had already cut his antlers off.
Some guy driving home had the sawzall in his car ready.
Exactly. I was so pissed.
So it happens so when you try to do things right nowadays, man.
And it was, yeah, and it was just, I guess it wasn't meant to be.
Man, what a bummer.
So I do think we could talk about deer hunting, but I kind of want to get your back history, and I want to get more into what you do now.
Great transition, Steve.
So you sound like a smart dude. Did you go to college after high school, or did you just kind of mess around and then hop right in this? I mean, do you got a background in producing things?
If you don't mind, just
things?
Rattling off your social security number.
Yeah, just call right out on our head. What's your mother's maiden name, too? And
just the last four digits is all.
That's all we need. That's all we really need.
You know, my other dream was to play college baseball and, like, see how far that could go. So I ended up getting fortunate enough to get recruited and play college baseball. But my goal was to, like, the fallback was going to be, like, producing. I wanted to be television, digital media productions is what I wanted to do. So I went and played baseball a couple years and got my degree. I ended up quitting my junior year. Just, you know, it was one of those things. You're 5'11". White, can't really throw very good. You can't hit with a wood bat, so you're just not going to make it to the majors. So
yeah, you're a bullpen catcher in the single A.
100%. I'm wearing number 99 and shin protectors. That's what I'm wearing.
Dude, get them knee savers out, man.
Exactly.
Life savers. Sitting right next to the bat boy.
Yep. So I put hung the cleats up and, you know, just kind of focused on television stuff, and honestly baseball was taking up too much turkey hunting too, so
it's fair.
And that's, yeah. And then I got my degree in television and digital media productions, and from there I had three opportunities. It was to either go with Chris and Casey and with an internship. I had to have a 6-month internship, or I was going to do the Buckmanner guys, or I was going to go down with Michael Waddell and those guys. Like, those were my three, like, picks that I wanted to do.
Those were offers, like, out on the table?
No, they were more like, that's what I want to do. And right. like one of our senior class, one of our classes was, we had to seek these people out and actually, like, get a job interview kind of thing, to kind of progress through that whole thing. And I sent out my cover letter and all that stuff, my demo reel, to all three places. And the first person to get back to me was Jason Brown, which is Chris and Casey's business partner. And he's the guy that started Rusted Rooster Media, which is the production company. And so he reached out to me. He's like, why don't you come in for an interview? And luckily, I mean, they're only 45 minutes from where I grew up. So I'm like, maybe this is the play I should do. Just, you know, I'm a homebody, you know, I don't really see myself moving anywhere else other than Michigan. And I'm like, okay, let's do this, you know? So I went and met with him, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so internship started, May 7th, 2012. It was supposed to be 6 months. They hired me after 2 months.
Oh, nice. Good work.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. And haven't looked back since. I've been with them, I think, 8 or 9, I can't even count that high. So 8 or 9 years or something like that.
Dude, very cool. That's awesome.
The rest of the history.
There's probably a lot of people out there that are wondering how to get into a job like that. That are, you know what I mean? It's on, if you're that into hunting and that into, like, watching hunting shows, you've thought about it for sure.
Yep. I think nowadays it is a lot easier to do, like, get into the industry doing what I'm doing. You know, I have, Lee Vandenbrink and Adam Rock and Keegan Zeem are three of the guys that are my age that are my coworkers and do the same thing I do. None of them went to college to do television stuff. They just kind of learned on their own. And, I mean, they're very talented guys. And,
that's good to know too.
Yeah. Yep. It's, I think it's a lot easier, and it's a big transition the industry is right now. Honestly, like, back when I was getting into it, it was like really cool. Like, you know, you were doing something. If you were in the industry now, I don't think it's, like, as cool, if that makes sense.
Like, I get what you're saying. I was going to ask you that next, is, like, do you ever fear for the future of your career? That being said, like, that everyone can kind of be in the industry. I'm not trying to, like, spook you out or nothing, but it's something I've thought about too, getting deeper and deeper into the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know if I fear that, because we do a lot of other things that instead of just television stuff, like that we have a marketing side of things that we do for, you know, companies like, you know, Rage Broadheads. When the Hypodermic came out back, I don't know, whenever, Rage was one of our clients. We named and basically did all the marketing behind Rage Hypodermic. And
no kidding.
Yeah, so I got to see like that broadhead and the evolution of it like before anybody else did. So that was kind of cool. Same with Muzzy, Nocturnal Lighted Nox, True Fire. I mean, a whole bunch of different brands, stuff like that. So we do that side of things too. And it's not so hinging on the TV side of things.
Gotcha. There's a business foundation behind
there is,
everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. But to answer your question a little further, though, like, I think that, do I want to do this forever? I mean, I would love to. I love my job. It's not, like I said, it's not even a job, really. But I think there's going to come a time where I'm like, okay, like to carry a camera every rut and not have a bow is going to start wearing thin. And not, you know, last year I had the best year of my life hunting. But like just going back to deer camp and hanging with the boys and doing that stuff, like I haven't been able to do that with my buddies in, you know, 8-9 years. That's just like a rich tradition around here. So
yeah, that's probably something a lot of people take for granted when they are dreaming about a career like what you have.
Yeah. For sure. And that's the thing. It's like everybody wants to get into the outdoor industry because of they love hunting, but you don't do a lot of hunting.
Right. Yeah. So for sure. And I wanted to be I kind of was the dude that dreamed about being like the film guy and stuff back in the day, just cause I was so into hunting videos and shit when I was young. That's something that everyone's thought about. If you're that into hunting, you want to record your own hunts and then you watch hunting shows and you think about what it must be like to be on it or to work behind the camera.
Yeah, right.
So it's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So tell us about the fall podcast. Where did this all come into play? And question, how did your job feel about you starting your own venture? Or is there something we don't know?
This is my 2-week notice.
Cat's out of the bag. I'm going to be fired now.
I'm like, sorry, man. You can join working class for a side hustle.
He's like, by the way, I've got all the dirt on the Kiefer brothers. Stay tuned for part two.
Yeah, there you go. Honestly, kind of go back to the 1 acre, that 1 acre farm. I call it the 1 acre farm. It's in, like I said, it's 80 acres with a 1 acre patch of timber. That was 2016. My brother-in-law bought that farm and, you know, he doesn't hunt. He's a dairy farmer and my wife and I hunt and he's like, yeah, go do whatever you want. Treat it as yours basically. And so I started scouring online forums, YouTube, anything just to find a human out there that has a situation that I do and is like kind of giving their secrets, I guess you could say, or tips.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is a 1 acre piece of timber. And what can I do with it, basically? And it just, I don't know, I guess you could say like a light bulb thing went off. And I was like, I was getting into podcasts. I listened to your guys religiously. And I was like,
thank you again.
Yeah.
No, all right, maybe this guy isn't that smart.
And I'm like, I mean, I don't have a voice for radio at all. But I was like, this would be kind of cool, like hobby. Like, you know, I was just having, my wife was pregnant with our daughter. And I basically said, you know, I gave up everything else, like beer league, softball, all the hobbies, like I gave it up and I wasn't going to give up hunting. So I'm like, this is something I could do at home and just like bullshit with a whole bunch of guys that are like-minded and maybe teach, or, you know, somebody that could be listening could like learn something, you know, a guy in PA could learn something from you, Kurt, or something that he heard on the podcast that he has got the same situation or something like that. And that's kind of how it was born. Really. And then I was on a turkey hunt and Chris and I and Casey were all turkey hunting one day. And I told Chris, I'm like, I'm going to start this podcast. He's like, yeah, dude, this sounds great. Like whatever you want. He's like, if you want some sponsor thing, just let me know. I'll help you out. And I'm like, well, pump the brakes a little bit. Like, you know, I appreciate that. Because that's the thing with Chris and Casey. They'll give the shirts off their back for you. I mean,
yeah,
they're really genuine dudes.
I've actually texted with one of them before And
oh, really?
And we just never went anywhere, like as far as getting like an episode going or something. It was super friendly and everything. I remember like sitting in the tree stand, we were texting, like, oh yeah, dude, we'll do it for sure. I was like, cool, hit you up later, and then it never happened. So okay. I don't know whose fault it is.
if you want him on, I mean, just let me know. I know a guy, so I could.
I should text him and be like, hey, I probably never texted back because I'm an a-hole on accident. I probably just never texted back, and never. I was probably like, he never texted me back, and I didn't see it. Anyway. Fun tidbit.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I kind of threw that out at him, and he's like, "Dude, that sounds awesome." And that's kind of when podcasts like were getting legs, I guess you could say. And then I felt like when I published my first one, everybody was like doing it at the same time. Jesus, like, and now I sit here 2 years into it, and I'm like, should this be something I just keep doing, or is it? I have a lot of fun doing it, but it's,
yeah,
it's like, you know, you reach out to one guy, like I talked to you, I was like, I don't want to ask every question that every other guy has asked you. I want it to be different. And you know, like, you get a lot of the podcasts are the same kind of platform, and it's like,
for sure,
I don't feel like ours is that much different than everybody else's, but I just try to be transparent and literally be like, if I don't know it, I'm not gonna bullshit about it. I'm not gonna tell you like I do know anything about it. So,
dude, that's so
went a
important.
Long way with a lot of our listeners.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can. So. That's. I think that's the issue with, I don't want to say most hunting podcasts, but a lot of them, is because there's people just regurgitating shit, like people that aren't really speaking from their own experiences. And even if your listeners disagree with your experience, if that's what you experienced, then it, like, if you had success on a whitetail in a bizarre way on 1 acre. On 80 acres and kill a 200 inch deer, and you're like legitimately talking about it, even if you're like, it was complete luck, like I didn't know that deer was going to be there, like, people respect that. Where if you're like, well, I sat there because this, and if you're making it up, then people kind of know you're full of shit.
Oh, yeah, it seems a little fishy.
Yeah, but no, being transparent is like the way to be. That's what we try to do. That, I mean, we're all assholes, we talk about it.
I stood on a beer can and I seen him come from 3 miles away.
I shot him. Whatever you want to do. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's where a lot of, like, even guys that have YouTube channels and stuff like that fail, is they're, it kind of goes also back to the same dudes that are new hunters that'll kill something, and then next thing you know, they go from asking questions to immediately giving advice.
Right.
Yep.
And it just, that sucks.
Yeah. And I kind of find myself doing that too. Like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, I ask you a question because I want to answer on it also.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If I'm asking you a question, I want to know your opinion because that might help me out or something. Or,
yeah,
you know, and that's what a lot of people, you and I talked about it, you know, the question that I got, a guy asked me how I call to a buck. Like, what? And it's like, that's so vague, but it's like, I can give you my experience. And I had a good experience with at one time, just one that came to mind. And this is what I can tell you. But, you know, I always thought I had to have a food plot like Lee and Tiffany to be able to kill a deer.
I did too,
man. I made food plots for 10 years, wasted an ass load of money, and never killed a deer on it. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like, what am I doing wrong? And it's like, so then I stopped. Like, I at that moment, I really was like, start pumping the brakes. Like, I got to figure out my woodsmanship, and I got to figure out what the hell I'm doing. And that was about 2008, 2009, and I really started diving in more to it.
How long have you been hunting at that point?
I started, so my dad had me going out. My dad put me in a tree stand when I was 8 for the first time with him, hung a tree stand right next to him, and just strapped me in with an old seatbelt from his old Ford Ranger. He literally ripped out. I watched him rip out his seatbelt and was like, yep, this is going to work. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he made me sit on the platform so my feet would dangle by his head, and he just strapped me right to that. It was an old tree stand. He welded up, you know, TMA standards.
Fuck yeah.
Just, there was no such thing as TMA. Oh, you know? So it's like,
OSHA approved.
Here's this. Yeah, exactly. Here's this goddamn seatbelt. I'm going to strap my 8-year-old in and do it. And I'm like, I look at my daughter now. She's going to be 3 in August. I'm like, there's no way I would get my daughter up there and just do that. But, you know, those are the days. But he had me as a young.
you just look at her and be like, damn, about time to rip out a seatbelt.
Dad doesn't care if I die. It's for sure.
Yeah, were you thinking it like.
They got taller seatbelts now.
When you were getting ready to go home in the truck, like, bro, what happens if we get a fucking accident on the way home? I got no seatbelt in here. Did you have to take it with you?
Yeah. You'll get that on those big jobs. But, I remember, and this is a little off topic, I remember my sister was 4 years older than me, and she had all of her friends, and my dad was taking them somewhere, and I'm the little shit brother that has to go where all the girls are, my sister's friends and everything. My dad had this, I don't know if he rented it or something, because I don't remember ever having it, but it's this big ass like Astro van or like a conversion van or something. I remember nobody having seatbelts on. I'm like basically dancing on the dashboard, and I remember the cops pulling us over and saying, "Son, your kid, you need to put him in a seatbelt." And I'm like, "What the fuck? Like, how am I still here right now?" You know,
that's funny as hell. It's different times, man.
It is.
That's funny. But so your dad sounds like a really rad guy. Like, I think we could all drink a beer with that dude.
Sounds like my dad.
Yes. My dad, on my 21st birthday, drank more beers than I did.
So did all our dads.
Walking
yeah.
around, yeah.
He did the same thing on your 33rd birthday, I'm sure, too, right?
Yep. It's a tragedy.
Yep.
That's awesome. I lost my train of thought where we were going with that. I was going to ask you. So you've been cranking out the podcast. You have, I mean, you're well over 100 episodes, aren't you?
You're 112, so yeah.
Yeah, so you're on your way, man. No quitting now. Like it did yeah. seem that way for a little bit, that hunting podcast. It was like, damn, everybody's got one. Mm-hmm. And then yep. it'll go through waves forever. Probably just like how hunting like video stuff goes.
It will. And that's something I guess I could ask you guys. Like, you guys have been in this 5 or 6 years now. Like, what keeps you guys motivated to do it? Because I'm still motivated to do it, but it's like, it's more of like a, like just yesterday, I'm like, fuck, I don't have a guest for Tuesday's podcast. I'm like, who the hell can I? And usually I like write in my phone, like, here's a list of guys that, but I don't know nothing about them. So like I'm going through their social media pages. Yeah, exactly. Like I'm going through the social media pages and I'm like, oh, this guy's it. Let's fucking get him on there. This sounds good. You know, and it's like, I'm like a thorough guy. Like I want to be like thorough with it. We have had a couple guys come on that like claim to be, they don't need to claim to be like anybody. You know what I mean? I don't need like the top notch guys, I want guys that can bullshit and talk and like not a guy that just stops a sentence after just like, okay, yep, done.
Yeah.
Well, we're dead in the water here. So
it takes a different, it's like your hosting skills got to be on point with people like that.
I need a Steve. I'm not a host. So.
I talked about Steve on your podcast. I think, like when I thought I did anyway, but
yes,
you Steve, you're good for like, if shit is struggling,
saying dumb shit.
Yeah. I could be like, Steve, save me with some dumb shit. Like, cause I'll be honest, it doesn't happen very often. Most of the times it's cause we're too drunk and we got to save each other. That's just, hey, you know, it happens.
That happens.
But what it happens the most common I notice is when we're at like, ATA is really the only time I've ever struggled through some podcasts. Probably one ATA episode a year, I'll say. There's some that I just can't fight through. And I just lean on Steve the whole way. And I'm like, damn, if I just use you once a year for this, all the bullshit it's worth. Because there's some, I mean.
Mulligan card.
And you don't know that an episode will be that way.
Right.
It's just, it's hard to explain. It's very rare, but once a year it happens to me.
Just throw out that mullet card.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what the secret is, and this is probably going to get a bunch of random drunk guys on other podcasts. But dude, I have the ability to talk, and I have lowest common denominator humor.
What does that mean?
So it means anybody can laugh at it. You don't got to be smart to laugh at me.
Wow, that is true.
Okay. You got to talk to people. You got to make jokes that even a seventh grader could understand, boy.
That is a valuable skill.
That's why I act childish all the time, because I'm like,
well, that, I mean, Aaron, that's you can kind of back me up. That's what's good about having like a co-host, you know.
A Steve.
Yeah. Yep.
But we have a team of co-hosts here. We're all co-hosts of each other, so it's great. But, I mean, do you run into that a lot in the podcast game? I mean, you've been doing it for, how long does it take you to get the 112 couple of years?
2 years will be next week. May 11th will be 2 years.
Oh, congrats.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Very nice.
Have you ever had some struggle episodes where you guys got to lean on each other?
I mean, there had to have been a couple, but I'm the guy that, like, I don't want to say it's scripted, but I'll go into a podcast with 20 questions.
And that's good, though.
If I don't have that, I'm the guy that's like, oh, fuck. Like, I just start getting, like, clammy and like, okay, where am I going? I got to, you know, say something. So I want to have, like, something where even if it's a harsh transition, I can just be like, oh, you know, how's your mom and dad doing, you know, or something like that. Like,
yeah,
that's a great harsh transition.
So, UFOs.
Yeah. So, and I don't like to edit podcasts. I have edited them in the past, but, like,
they're better if you don't.
Yeah. I've never taken anything out unless a guest is like, can you take that out for me? And I've only had that happen once or twice.
Yeah.
But other than that, I will edit, like, a lot of the ums. I'm not going to lie to you, because I feel like people are just, like, you say so much or yeah, like, or, yeah, you know. So I will go through sometimes where I feel like it's pretty heavy on that. But for the majority, I slap the intro on, slap the end on, and we're color hoyle and just fucking submit it.
Bless
so,
you, sir, man. Let her bless fly. You. Let her yes. Fly. That, I love hearing that, because at first we freestyle. I don't want to say we freestyle all of them. I say we freestyle 85% of our podcasts are freestyle, like hit the button, let's go. In my head, I know what I want to bring up or like what we want to talk about. But yep, when I know I'm going to have an in-studio guest and we're going to do a three-hour long haul, like, I will write out some notes because I want some intricate conversation, because you can really crack that can open and have a conversation when they're
studio.
Yeah, when they come to the studio, they drove 3-4 hours to get here, and it's like, all right, dude, we're talking. And that's what I love to do. But other than that, I feel pretty cool about freestyling. But I'm not going to lie, sometimes freestyling doesn't make me a little nervous every now and again. But I feel like it's good for you.
Hey, man, if you got bars, man, it's all good.
Yep.
Cliff told me I had bars.
You got Diddy, really?
Yeah. But, I mean, when I did your show, Aaron, you were kind of like, hey, you cool? Just let me fire questions at you. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, damn, I just responded too confident. Like, now I'm probably going to bomb everything.
Well, a lot of people ask, you know, a lot of guests, they'll be like, hey, do you have like an outline or something? So I'll throw them, you know, some questions just like, okay, this is what I want to cover. If we get to it, we get to it. Or if we get off tangent, let's just fucking go with it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, you go back to probably the first like 30, you know, episodes or something of the podcast were actually fucking brutal. Like the first 10, I'm not going to lie to you, I was in my closet with pillows over my head, basically, because my daughter was like, you know, 5-6 months old, sleeping on the other side of the house, and I didn't want to wake her up. So I sound like I'm so monotone and just like, I gotta be really quiet, you know?
You sound like you're in a closet full of pillows.
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, fuck, I want to go back and delete them, but I'm like, you know what? That's where it came from. Like, that's what you get, you know? So, and
that's cool, though, yeah, man.
So episode 11 is when he came out of the closet?
That was pretty good.
I knew someone was going to say it.
Leave it to Steve.
Well, seventh grade humor. Don't forget.
I enjoy your guys' your conversation flow on your show is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I had my buddy. Oh, he's on Team WCB. Jeremy Beck. He was on your show. A great guy.
Big guy.
I love it. Great dude to know.
For sure.
Dude, to have he's a guy you're on your team.
But he was like, hey, I just did the fall podcast. Awesome dude. And I have a few guys that I make phone calls about other podcasts. I'm just like, hey, give me some reviews. And they're like, oh, yeah, in my rotation. And I think I told you that Byron Horton's one of those guys. He's one of like four people that I call that listen to like every podcast. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like the gurus, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, dude, that's in my rotation for sure. So
he's the Whitetail Experience, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I just know him as Byron. Him and I today, I think he's going to come on this week to be my next week's guest.
Awesome.
Because, I want to dive into a little more public land stuff. And, you know, like I told you, like, I've never fucking set foot on public land with a weapon in my hand. So it's like I want to regurgitate as much as I can. But I also don't – like I always wanted to be the guy that got like, let's get the gems out. Like, you know, the 1 acre guys, like I killed 200 on a 1 acre. How the fuck did you do that? Like, I wanted to be that guy. And then like Dan Johnson comes out with like 900 podcasts in 3 weeks, and like it's all with those guys, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, you know. So but I just recently, with since probably episode 100, probably the last 12 weeks or something, we're getting more into like let our hair down a little bit. Before we didn't swear much. I felt like it was like, well, and then I'm like, you know what, fuck it, like that's fine.
it's the forbidden fruit, you know. Fuck, just gotta
it.
Jump in.
It is
forbidden,
it really
fruit.
Is. And fuck is the best word in the vocabulary. Whoever said right. that it was a whoever said it was the worst word and not to say it, I want to punch him square in the kisser, because you're you can say idiot. Fuck in so many different ways. Dude. Like, fuck, that's awesome. Like, fuck, I hate you. You know, like,
yeah,
like, fuck.
It can go every direction of emotion.
Yes. You might have to put the beat lab on me when you edit this or something.
Dude, that's it's a great verb, too, if you know what I mean.
Hey, who fucking cares?
Yeah, that is interesting, though. The cussing thing in the podcast game, well, I mean, this is what happens on our show when you get two podcasters, like, chatting, is, like, we always compare notes on air, kind of, and it's fun.
You were giving away all the secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But that is, like, a thing. Like, what's going to deter people or bring people in is the F-bomb.
For sure.
And I've had other podcasts like, hey, what do you guys cuss like all the time. How do you deal with that? I'm like, I don't fuck them. I don't know. Like, if they got a problem with it, listen to an uptight podcast. I don't fucking know what you want to do.
Well, it doesn't help either that all of us here work in a shop either.
Well, that's the thing, though. We're honest about that. You know, going back to that, it's like we're not trying to put this blanket of going back, like, I don't have to have a 40-acre food plot to be a hunter. And, like, all this money and all that, like, we're just humble dudes. So, but that's what's cool about being transparent and coming through with it. I think, Aaron, your angle, too, like, you working in the industry and starting a podcast and then having a successful podcast is pretty damn cool, because I know a lot of people in the industry that start a podcast and their podcast doesn't do well compared to, like, a successful show.
Well, I think I've got like 3 subscribers, so like, I guess that's pretty successful, if you want to say. No, I appreciate that, though. Like, that means a lot. Like, I don't know what successful is. I don't know. I don't know what to judge it on. I hate judging on how many likes a photo gets or how many subscribers you have on IG. Because if you do that, if you like judge that, you're going to beat yourself to death. Like,
and it's wrong. I believe it's wrong.
Yep, 100%. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I used to be like, okay, I need to get to 1,000 subscribers on this for people to think that you're credible. Now I just don't give a shit. Like, it's you know,
gold jacket, green jacket,
yeah, brother.
Gold jacket, green jacket. I don't give a shit. Like, it's just, you know, if you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I mean, there's times where we probably ramble and get monotone, but.
That's
sorry.
What it is.
I mean, actually, I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I mean,
well, do you ever get like negative messages, or you should do this, or like, do you ever hear about somebody hating or anything like that? I mean, especially, I mean, you have to, right? You've been in the industry heavily since 2012. You've ran across your haters for sure.
You know, honestly, I haven't got a lot of hate mail on the podcast side, but I did get, and I've probably beat this horse to death the last couple of weeks, but I've been getting some pretty aggressive mail, I guess you call it hate mail, from the 2 deer that I killed last year. And
really,
dude, I mean, oh, it's been fucking ridiculous, man. It's almost to the point where it makes it not fun anymore. And
like, hate mail, like, describe what type of hate mail.
So on,
you don't got to get like 8th, super detailed, but
well, November 7th, I killed that 186 in Iowa, my best buck ever. And then 7 days later, I went to Kansas and killed like 115-inch 8-pointer. And once we started talking about on the podcast and everything, and then the episodes came out on our digital, on our YouTube channel, it like there was guys saying, literally, you're going to go shoot. First of all, it was you shot the deer in a high fence on a farm that was
not
pressured.
Anything over 180 is a high fence.
Yep, 100%. And, you know, and one guy on YouTube said, he commented and it was like, what did he say? Oh, all you care about is the antlers, and that deer was shot in high fence, yada, yada. And I finally, I was like, fuck you, man. And I'm writing back to you. So I went on there and my personal account, it said my name and everything. And I'm like, I wrote on it. And I'm like, dude, where in this video did I ever say anything about a score or antlers or anything. If you watch the video, the 3 days prior, I was going to shoot a 9-point that was like 30 to 40 inches smaller if the deer wouldn't have picked me off. And I was going to shoot, you know, another buck that was like probably 135, but he was like 8 years old. And I would have thrown something through his chest cavity. I don't discriminate. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was going there. I was going there to shoot something old and mature that I can't shoot in Michigan. And I just so happened to shoot something that was a deer of a lifetime. But like people, they're saying, it must be nice to have, you know, walk into a place and just go sit in a stand and shoot a deer in a high fence with food plots and no pressure on the farm. Must be nice to go to an outfitter. I did not go to an outfitter. I stayed at an outfitter, but it wasn't outfitted land because one of our really good friends runs an outfitter and he lets us come and, you know, basically shack up at his place while we hunt Iowa because you don't draw every year.
Right, right.
And it's like, dude, fuck you guys. And then it's like one guy that really got me was like the deer that I killed in Kansas. My best guess was he's probably a 3-year-old, but I thought he was a 4-year-old, and he was a shit deer. He's a shit rocket. I mean, if he tipped the scale at 115, I'd be very surprised. But I'll tell you what, that deer right there that I shot 7 days after the biggest deer in my life, I got me just as jacked as that big deer. And I didn't walk up to that deer and go, oh, fuck, how am I going to make that look big in pictures? I never once have ever done that. You know,
good for you, man.
And it was like, I'm having the time of my life. You know, I'm having the time of my life. And these guys are like, you're going to shoot that after you go shoot this deer. And and it's just one after another. I'm going to say probably 30 guys have reached out and just like, you know, just hating. And I'm like, it's all stems from jealousy. At first I was like, you know, whatever. And then it got to the point where it was just like sickening. Like, this is stupid. And then I wasn't any better. And I started writing back to him. And I'm like, you got to stop doing this.
Well, it's hard to. I mean, people don't understand the work to it. And yeah, I didn't mean to ask that question and to bring a negative like vibe, but I think it is important because you're deeper into the hunting media game than we are, but you do get that. We get that. Mostly it's from local people because anytime we make a joke, everybody thinks we're talking about
them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like now with our show being like the Howard Stern, I'm just saying that because we've been called the Howard Stern of hunting. And
that's a compliment.
Who's the Beetlejuice?
Well, I mean,
you.
Appreciate it. No, Eric's Beetlejuice.
No, you're the short.
But the thing, you know, we're controversial sometimes. We say shit, like, we say unpopular opinions. We say things to make things funny, to make things interesting, whatever. Right. Like, some we believe in it, but half the time we're just being fucking dudes that work blue-collar jobs and drink a couple beers after work.
What do you call it, the wage brain?
Yeah, we just have wage brains, man.
My favorite part about, like, you saying all the YouTube comments, like, some people don't even watch your stuff. They just see, like, the picture of it and, like, oh, high fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, don't even read into it at all. Like, oh, I'm jumping to conclusions.
When we podcasted with Bone Collector the last time, and they said, what did they say? Yeah, it was in a fence, but it had rounded corners, so we couldn't box them in.
Yeah.
that's what you just responded to the haters with. You just responded with that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that guy that commented, his name was Tom. I don't know his last name. If I didn't know his
fuck
last
you,
name,
Tom.
I'd say it right on here. But he said, he's like, that deer, because we shot two bucks that day. Casey, I filmed him shoot one in the morning that was an 8-year-old. We'd hunted this deer for 4 years, and when we learned of him, he was a 4-year-old for sure. And then he just went disappeared, and he showed up one morning. We shot him. He went from 150-inch deer to maybe 135. Like, he got injured the year before really bad. We didn't think he'd make it through. Never showed up on a camera. Showed up on November 14th morning chasing a doe by us in a place we've never seen him before. And Casey smoked him, killed him. And we're like, yeah, this deer's at least got to be 7 or 8 years old. This Tom goes on there, and he's like, oh, the first deer, he's probably a 3-year-old for sure, and the second deer, because I shot that deer that night. Ugh. He's like, that deer's definitely a 2-year-old. And I'm like,
a 2-year-old?
Tom's bored, like, huh?
He's an asshole. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, you have that much time to go on and watch this video and then just be like, oh, I'm going to shit on these guys' day. Like,
dude, be honest.
He probably disliked it too.
Did his profile picture have him sleeveless with a shitty Browning tattoo?
No, you know what it is?
I know the guy. My theory,
people without legit profile pictures are the haters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, you didn't have a profile picture. It was a T for Tom.
Oh, T for Tom.
Hey, what's MH stand for? My hat. We watched Incomplete Deer Hunter the other day.
Yeah. That's an inside joke. My hat.
Well, that is interesting, man. I'm sorry to bring up like a negative vibe topic, but I feel like it is important. But I mean, you said like the podcast could be the replacement of like a hobby, what you do, but it's also kind of like what you do for a living. Do you ever feel like overwhelmed with all that?
Not one day. I love whitetails so much that every day I do something with whitetails, whether I'm editing something or taking a picture, editing a picture or doing a podcast. I've never once thought of it being work. It just consumes me. Like, guys ask me, you know, you want to go on an elk hunt? Not really. Like, I would love to go on an elk hunt someday, but if you give me, like, people give me scenarios, you get this budget to do this, what are you doing? Like, I'm going on a whitetail hunt. Like, there's some bucket list whitetail hunts I want to do. I want to do Alberta or Saskatchewan.
Of course, yeah.
With a bow in the snow with chocolate rack deer.
You gotta have a chocolate rack.
Yep. I just want to shoot a 400-pound whitetail up there. And
just ate hay all winter and gorge.
Put it in lard and onions, honey. I'm going to get you a buck.
I'm going to get you a
buck. Hay is deer poutine up there.
Yep. I think. Oh, I love poutine, man. Oh gosh. Both figures. Both of them too.
Who doesn't?
That's interesting. So like you
and pasties?
400-inch elk or 200-inch whitetail?
Whitetail all day.
That's cool, man. I like that. I've been drawn to the Western game lately. I'm sure you've done your fair share of like filming out west and stuff like that, or in Alaska too as well, right?
Yep. Yep, I've been to Alaska a couple times, Northwest Territories. Northwest Territories, I got charged by a bear. Our guide she bluff charged twice, and then she came the full length the third time, and shot him with a 30 iron sights. She came chomping her jaws, and she literally died at our feet. It was
what? Hold on, you got to walk me through this.
Damn, dude, that'd have been awesome.
Pump the brakes. Wait a second.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You've almost been killed by a grizzly bear, a brown bear.
Well, this one was a black bear.
Oh, but damn, unannounced, right?
Well, yeah, because black bears, they'll kill you. Like, grizzlies will play with you and then kill you. So that's, like, the deal.
Oh, good to know. I'm hunting black bears in, like, 2 weeks.
Black bears are aggressive. I mean, grizzlies are, too. Like, I went to Northwest Territories for 14 days. It was a fly-in hunt. We were going to hunt caribou, sheep, dull sheep, and billy goats. So that was going to be our 14 days out of a tent and, you know, do all that stuff. And we had just killed a billy goat, and we relocated to a different area to start caribou hunting. And we were on this rock bed of this river. So we had to make a meat cache, you know, I don't know how far. I will say it's like 80 yards, 100 yards from camp. And we went to bed that first night. And then when we went to check the meat cache the next day, there was meat gone. And we're like, shit, okay, like, you know, watch your six, basically. The bear's probably around here somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it was like no sooner. We were drinking coffee by the fire and look over, and she's coming down the rock bed right next to the river. And we're like, shit. So the guide's like, cause you can't shoot bears in the Northwest Territory. Like, it's this big, unless it's self-defense, I believe.
Yeah.
Cause we had to do all this paperwork and everything and yada yada. But so we're sitting there, and the guy's just like, you know, just be cool. Like, you know, we're going to be good. All of a sudden she looks and sees us. And my asshole, you couldn't fit a grease BB up my asshole.
Oh, fit a what?
I heard that. BB. You couldn't hammer a grease BB in my ass?
I immediately started pissing down my leg because I'm like, this is going to get real here. She got up on her hind legs and then got down and started chomping her jaws. And I'm like, and this is the first time I've ever seen anything like that. She's, you know, she likes us. She wants to come visit. So
she wants to come sit down and have a cup of coffee.
Oh, fuck, a buffet. My treat.
Yep. And she all of a sudden just comes right at us. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's going down. And she comes to about, well, I'll say 40 or 50 yards, and she just puts the skids on, gets on her hind legs and looks at us, gets down, turns around, and walks away. And our guide was like, just, you know, you're good. We're fine. And I wasn't with Chris or Casey. This was another show we were doing, so I was with a different hunter. And him and I had, like, just met each other, like, not too long before
this. You didn't
so
know what he was like, made of yet.
Well, yeah. Maybe.
Or how fast he could run.
Well, I knew I could outrun one of them, so we just...
so you were good.
Yeah, we were good there. So then the next time she came, did the same thing. The third time she came the whole way. And so it was like a backpedal, you know, defensive back drill as quick as you could on a rock bed. And the guy pulls up his 30-30 lever action and just puts one right between, like right on her, right where her neck meets her shoulder, basically.
Yeah.
And she just stone dead, slid, you know, right there and died at like 5 feet.
Damn, yeah. Good marksmanship on that guy. Yeah. Dude, probably, I'm glad I called that guy.
Put his lipstick on. Did he even put his cigarette out? Did he even put his cigarette out before he shot that thing?
Oh, it's probably got the biggest ash, and it's just dangling there.
Ash on the dead bear's head? Like, yep. Dude, this guy's seen some shit up here, man.
Rule number one. Yep. Oh, I'm number one.
Oh, shit, I spilled my coffee. Yep.
Dude, that is scary,
damn,
man.
Dude, fuck that.
Yeah.
So you.
What's rule number three?
Grizzly hunt too, and the grizzly. I saw a grizzly that probably go like 1,200 pounds, at like 250 yards, and it was another pucker moment. Really
thick.
Yeah, I'm not trying to mess around with bears like too much. You know what I mean?
Anytime a bear like moves in your direction, I'd be like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm on Wyoming. Here. I leave the 24th of May for a Wyoming bear hunt, and there's grizzlies where we're going.
Good luck.
And then we're horsebacking into all these spots, so it should be interesting. I'm not really like, it's not something I think about, like, oh, I'm scared of the grizzlies, but it would suck to like run into one.
It's in the back of your mind, though.
Can you carry like a side arm?
You know, I've been asked that, and I'm always like, I'm going to look into it, and I haven't looked into it.
You might want to do that.
It pulls out the brass knucks.
If I can, I will. But, I mean, if not, it's karma, right? I said it'd be rad to have some bear scratch marks if the bear died, you know? And I said it on the podcast, so now I'm going to eat my own words, probably.
Come back with some scars.
I'll just kick a lot and hopefully get out of it. But if not, it was there good you go. Knowing you guys.
There you go.
You cannot run, Clint, right?
Probably not.
If that bear kills you, hopefully you can clutch up in the gulag. It's funny. I was seeing if this guy's a video game guy. Kind of sounded like he might be.
So dumb. I could throw triangle chokes. I don't know how that'll work.
Dude, if you choked a bear out to death, I would get Kurt as my daddy tattooed on my ass.
Call it done, sir.
Right there.
There's a video of him like choking the bear out.
Give me 3 weeks, bro.
I will hound you. If you have to go get a teddy bear and fucking go in the woods with it, you better do it. Just to stage it.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to find somebody with a trained bear and just choke that motherfucker unconscious.
Heel, Cinnamon. Heel.
Yeah. Yes, Cinnamon.
Kurt pays like $5,000 for this guy to bring a bear out.
Like, hey, dude, just train that bear to fall asleep while I like pretend choke it.
Kurt, I swear to God, I saw that bear in the circus when I was 9. You're not fooling me.
No, those bears still kill people.
Can't fool me. I know a cheeseburger bear when I see one.
So, man, you live an interesting life, man. It's good talking to you. You have you're good at conversation. It kind of goes back when this is another promotion to go listen to the episode I did on your show. We talked about when people have been through a lot of hunting experiences, you can talk to them a little bit differently. And it just so happens you have well more hunting media experience than we'll ever have.
I don't know about that, but I've got a lot of experiences, and you hit the nail on the head though when you said, you know, you don't realize what you have seen or went through until somebody asks you like that. I never even thought of it that way before, you know, and when you said that, I'm like, so true.
Well, the reason why I think that way too is because normally I'm asking questions, and it's rare when I get asked questions. Yep. So, you know what I mean? Even when we do our show here, we're just bullshitting with each other. We're not necessarily asking each other deep whitetail questions. So when I get the opportunity to guest on a show, And then, like, you'll ask me a question. And that's kind of why I like not being prepared for questions. It's because I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, this one time. It also makes me probably seem sort of dumb because I'm not expecting anything or I haven't pre-thought about anything. But, like, you know what I mean? In the conversation, it just comes more natural. Like, oh, fuck, I did have this one thing. Like, it, when you guys were asking me those questions, that's why I was like, oh, just let me use my last season as an example because that was so fresh in my mind. Whereas if I could think about it, I might have pulled up a different a different experience. But it is cool, man. I mean, you've watched, would you say, a couple 200-inch deer die?
Yeah, so I filmed Casey shoot a 208-inch mule deer, just a slob of a deer. We were in Alberta. He's killed. I filmed him kill a 186, 185, or 183, 9-point in Illinois, and then a 175, 164, and then I killed the 186. So him and I have been together on a lot of big animals.
That's a resume, man. Congratulations on that. Sure. That's a big deal.
Appreciate that. Yeah, and a lot of those deer like that. That deer in Illinois, the 183, we hunted him for 18 days. Basically, it was on a farm. It was an 80-acre farm, and there was only about 40 acres of timber. And we hunted 18 days, got skunked. Something like 14 days, and we end up seeing him three times. We saw him three times in. Hang on, I'm sorry. My dad's calling me right now. Just a minute.
That's all right.
I'm not gonna punch over to him. I thought you could probably hear me.
Bring him on.
Come on, but, Dad. You're live.
you're hot. Yeah. No, we got skunked so many times. We saw him three times and couldn't get an arrow in him. And then we got mobile. The corn came off. We moved the stand. Midday, got in there and killed him. We rattled him in and killed him. So that was cool. Like, we've killed quite a few deer like that where it's just that deer we're going after.
Yeah.
And let's figure them out. And you learn a lot that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. That's good stuff, man. That's a ton of good experiences on big, big, big deer. Like, you know, world class. Yep. 180, 180 inch deer do not come around. So to have experiences on deer that caliber and bigger is incredible. I do appreciate you, man, having me on your show and then you quickly jumping on ours, man. It's been great chatting with you. I have a feeling that we're gonna have many more back and forth podcasts in the future.
For sure. Let's
unless you're feeling a different vibe than I am.
Not at all, man.
He's
not
like, fuck those guys.
If I wasn't getting up at 4 a.m., I'd be blowing in the low twos right now. So I love having beers and talking, just BSing.
We'll have to do this again, man. Tell people where they can find you, where they can watch you, or wherever you just want people to find you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm on Instagram. My personal page is AB_humanimal. And then the Fall Podcast anywhere, and then YouTube channel. You can see a lot of basically all my stuff on if you go to Kiefer Brothers YouTube channel, you'll see a lot on there. My 186 is on there, and then the little deer that I killed in Kansas that Tom was talking about is on there. And so yeah, a lot of the content's on there. The Fall Podcast YouTube channel is not very good. It's just where our podcasts go to live and basically get, you know, die there.
that's what our YouTube is for as well.
Yeah,
Spotify is
basically a trash can.
Let's push Spotify for podcasting. That's the best.
It is the best.
Yep. Is Spotify your guys' hotbed?
No, it's not the hotbed, but Apple is. But I like Spotify's platform because it works for everyone.
That's where I listened to your episode at.
Yeah,
I
like Spotify because
I love Spotify.
The links are there to share everywhere. It's cool. You can see the cover arts. It's the descriptions, the links. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful the way they do it. That's my favorite.
You can
favorite.
Even go through there and pick like which one you haven't listened to, and they'll come up first.
Yeah, and people don't know about Spotify yet. It's like it's a growing thing in the podcast community, but I think it needs to be number
it's
one.
Huge.
So
I'll start pushing that because I know the podcast is on there, but honestly, Stitcher is number two on mine after Apple Podcasts. So
yeah, Stitcher's pretty good too. Weird. Though.
Yeah, our Stitcher's up there with Apple, but I'm telling you, Spotify needs to be the top.
I second
platform.
That.
It needs to
All
be.
Right, I'll have to check that out. Start pushing that.
Yeah, that's my favorite the way it looks anyway. But I know like you know Apple and Stitcher and Libsyn actually does pretty good for just being its own deal, but. So yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you. And
oh, hey, before we go, I wanted to tell you a cool quick story. Aaron, you're a big baseball fan, right?
Yes.
I'm gonna go pee during this.
Yeah, this it ties into hunting. Funny enough, are you a Detroit Tigers fan?
I am. Yep.
Okay. All right. So you got one of my favorite players growing up, and I will. I'll transition this. This is a cool story. I went to my very first baseball game. It was a Chicago White Sox game, and I wanted to go see my favorite player, Maglio Ordóñez, play.
Okay.
And they're playing against the Cleveland Indians, and Jim Thome was there and hit two home runs, and we left the game early. Like, it was the biggest disappointment in my life. I hated Jim Thome from that day, right? I in my head, I always hated him until he came back to play for the White Sox a little bit later.
Yep.
Funny enough, I saw a UFO that night, too. Different story.
Jesus.
No, coming back home from Chicago.
This is coming from the guy that thought he saw a UFO and saw a light tower by our house.
No, it's never pulled the binos out on that one. No, here's a funny thing, dude. I hated Jim Thome because he hit two home runs, and I was like, it seemed like it ruined my childhood. Well, I watched a documentary on it, and it turns out, you know, if you guys don't know Jim Thome, like, apparently he's one of the nicest human beings on the planet and a hunter from, you know, back in the old Drury days. So he hunts too. So he's apparently a great guy. Why I hated him as a kid is, I guess his niece, nephew, someone was there, and they have like MS or some disease, and they asked Jim, "Could you hit a home run for me?" And he hit two of them. So
holy shit, dude, that's awesome.
I know, and I'm like, you know, I always had this hate for this guy, and it turns out he's the nicest guy and a hunter, and he's somewhat local to us. So it's like, you know. I was an asshole when I was a kid.
I've never met
you still
Jim
are.
Thome. I've never met Jim Thome, but he's like, I always hated him too because he played for the Indians and yep. Tigers. You know, like he crushed us. Like he hit six bombs every game. It seemed like, you know, as I was growing up.
So but I'll be honest, I missed. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Aaron.
Oh, it seems like he was a good cat, and I'd be one day like I want to drink with him. I heard he could tip him back, so I want to drink a beer.
What's funny about Jim Thome, I missed the whole baseball story. I don't know anything about baseball,
oh, it's all good.
Which is why I took my bathroom break when I did. But the funny thing about that, where I hunted in Fulton County, I never went by there, but I always heard that he hunted like not far from where we hunted when I hunted in Fulton County. And then I was like drooled that the Drurys were there, and I was like, dude, the Drurys are probably hunting a couple miles from me sometimes, you know, which I thought was amazing when
Big
I was
Bus
young.
Going to come here.
Yeah, but yeah, like Jim Thome would eat at the cafe in the small town that we hunted in.
I think he still lives awesome. Down there too. I think he's got an office job with the White Sox too. But I think he still lives.
Like, I will say this though, Canton, area. Illinois, yeah. is like I don't know if he's from there. We'd always go to the Farm King there to get like hunting shit during hunting camp, and they always had like his name up on like the little light sign, and it seemed like everyone from his little local areas loved him.
Oh yeah,
so. That means a lot. Normally, you're just doing big things, but to be like have people love you is a rare thing. I feel like from where you come from, if you're successful.
Yeah, if you weren't an Indians fan, you hated them.
I still hate everything about Ohio. I hate. I mean, Buckeyes.
Dude, I'm a Bengals fan. Ohio. I hate my life. But yeah,
what about the hunting in Ohio?
You know what? The hunting. I know we've already ended this podcast.
No,
so.
We can do whatever we want.
Literally.
We're back in it. Oh, and we're back.
We got our second wind.
The hunting that's the only out of state, the only state that's had my number since like 2012. This is the first state I ever went to out of state. 2 years ago, I went down there with a muzzleloader, and the only deer that we could not shoot came out in bow range. The last day of muzzleload season, he would have been at the time my biggest buck. He was like 145, 150 inch, like 3-year-old. I mean, just a majestic 3-year-old. And Adam, the guy was filming me, didn't really know much about the deer. And we're sitting there, this is like the last light. And Adam's like, oh, what do you think? You know, we get out of here. And I'm like, yeah, probably. And Adam goes, oh, shooter right here. And he's like 30 yards coming through. And I it was like, you know, Ted Nunes says the backstrap ballet. Like, I like jump out of my seat, grab the gun. Within like 3 seconds, I'm on him, and I go, fuck. And he's like, what? And I go, it's Sneaky Jr. I said, we can't kill him. He goes, are you kidding me? He's like, I'm rolling right now. We got good light. And I'm like, can't kill him. And I had to pass him up.
No shit. Man. Yeah, fuck
Dude,
Ohio.
Anywhere else. That deer deader than a wedge. I don't care.
Man. Why you couldn't kill him because he had such high potential or what?
Yeah. So the year before, so that's Chris and Casey's lease down there. And, you know, they gracious enough to let us hunt down there too. And the year before, Chris was hunting his dad. He named a big Sneaky. That's why this one's Sneaky Jr. His dad was probably in the mid-70s as a four-year-old, and he was identical to his dad. I mean, I've never seen two deer look identically the same. And there's kind of weird. Kidding. He's got like crabs. His beams come out and then they come back towards his eyes a little bit, and they're both crabbed. Both deer had that. It was, I mean, it was his offspring. So we were like, one more.
That's
deer,
rare, right? That's blow. Rare to call that like that.
I yeah, so. For sure.
You always think about figured, it.
Well, yeah, we figured one more year the steer would have blown up. So I'm like, I probably would have lost my job over that one.
Not a good start.
You lose your job over 145 deer. You better get that fucker full mounted with the unemployment check.
Yep.
The last check ever. Oh,
damn. Well, that's awesome, man. I'm sure you could tell some really good detailed stories from each hunt, each experience. And again, I'm already thinking about stuff I want to ask you.
Oh, just deer camp stories, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I've got one that after dropped, I won't even get into it. I know you guys probably, it's late. You guys want to get going probably. So,
okay, yeah, I mean, you're good, man. Whatever. But I do want to follow up because I want to ask a whole episode of the questions on dropped.
I've only been on one drop, but it was a fun drop. But after that drop, we were in there, what was it, 26 days or something like that. Whoa. and when we got back to civilization, and it wasn't even civilization, it was a cabin. We got to a cabin and Chris, we all indulged in a couple thrapples, some demoriers, like, you know, cigarettes, and I don't smoke. I don't, you know, do any of that. And I just wanted to have a cigarette. Literally. I'm not shitting you.
Smoking like, some fucking darts, bud.
Oh, God. Ripping the doomers we were.
We got the big heater out for you.
That's hilarious.
We freaking sit there. We get off, you know, we get into this cabin and we just sit down, and it's been like 26 days of just like basically nonstop filming, and you're tired. You have not ate much at all. I don't have a lot of weight to lose. I lost like 14 pounds on that drop.
Damn.
And
dude,
I sit down, and we had a case of beer. In that case of beer, I was fucked up after one and a half Bush Light. And we drank the whole thing. I mean, within probably, I don't know, an hour and a half, the four of us, we just sat there and just boozed. And that's all we wanted to do. And our first meal after that, we went to Wendy's.
I was going to say Taco Bell.
Wendy's, dude. You got a Frosty?
Fucked up some Wendy's. And, you know, it was one of those things that your eyes are bigger than your appetite. So I got, like, everything. My burger had a piece of hair in it. And
you still ate it.
I gave zero fucks.
Oh, thank God. I've been waiting for this. Oh, is there spit in this food? Other human saliva? More human contact? Thank God I'll ingest it all.
Yeah, and I got like three large fries, only ate like half of one. And, you know, it's just one of those things.
That's hilarious.
It took a while to get back from that, but dropped. I mean, it was that experience was pretty crazy. We had a moose tag and we had a bear tag. We had one moose tag and two bear tags, and we could do all the fishing that we wanted to. We went on a lake that nobody had been on since early 1970s. Nobody had
set. Jesus. Holy fuck.
We got flown in for, I think the flight was, it's like an hour and a half maybe by bush plane. And we were so far from anybody. Like, it was crazy. It was so cold. It was the coldest drop every day. It was just cold. You couldn't get away from it.
How do you deal with that day after day?
It gets to the point where it's just like you just numb to it, and you just got to do
just
it.
Get used to it, kind of.
Yep. Yeah, you're just there.
26 days.
The first day would be the fucking worst. Like, God damn, I got 26
days. I do a five-day run hunt, I'm like, damn, I hunted hard.
Yeah.
What is the first place you would go, though, if you, like if you knew you were going to do 26 days and you hopefully survived, like, where's the first restaurant you're going? Wendy's sounds like a great idea.
Taco Bell for sure. Taco Bell.
Oh, are you talking me or?
Well, yeah, in general. Like, if you had your choice to do it all over again, you know, because that just sounds amazing. Like, I wonder how amazing that first cigarette is after that first cigarette.
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life.
Dude, do you smoke that?
I've never smoked a cigarette, but I want a cigarette.
The first thing, yeah. I
don't know why. I wanted to fucking smoke. It was like I was a pregnant woman or something, and I wanted a doomer.
That's really funny.
Fucking doomer.
What did your family think before? We kind of just started a second podcast, but that's okay.
We kind of did.
So when
doing a light teaser.
How did they, I'm sure you were involved in the planning process and all this, but when you found out, like, yeah, we're going, what did you tell your family? Like, your mom and dad, you're like, yeah, I'm going to Alaska. Peace.
Later.
26 days.
Yeah, my dad is my biggest fan. I know that I put my podcast out every Tuesday usually, and by noon on like Tuesday, he's calling me and like, dude, the guest you had was awesome. Like, I want to talk. And he wants to give me like the minutes of the whole podcast and like a dissertation. I'm like, dad, like, it's, you know, I'm trying to work here, but I love him to death. You know, he's just, but
did your dad hate me? Like, cause I think I'd like to drink a beer with your dad after hearing that seatbelt story.
No, he would not. He'd oblige.
I'd actually like to see the setup of that seatbelt.
Yeah.
I could probably try to like,
he's probably still got it.
Get a company going here.
Shit, he's probably going to use it for your daughter.
Probably.
Still got the seatbelt.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, what do they think when you're about to go to Alaska?
So he was more like, just like, this is badass. And then my daughter was a year and a half or just over a year. I think it was right after her first birthday. I think it was. And it was, we knew we were going to be going in the whole month of September back. We were planning it, you know, April, May this time. So we knew, I mean, it was a build up to it.
Right.
You know, going to Alaska is just not like, on a whim, let's go. I mean, for, if you want to do like just a moose hunt with a guide, you can, but, you know, we had flights already booked for like bush pilots, like a year in advance. Like, if we want to go to Alaska right now to do a draft or something, we can't for like probably a year and a half, 2 years, just because the bush pilots are so booked.
No kidding.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. They're booked up pretty far in advance. But she was like, my wife is more like, you know, awesome, like very happy for me, but also like, I know what's coming. And a lot of tears were shed when we were getting ready to leave. And she's a nurse. So when I'm gone, she basically just, you know, packs up and goes to her mom's, because her mom helps out a lot. And she just, you know, with the girl and everything. And, but she's really supportive on it all. And she's been with me, you know, since 2009. So she's been through all the,
yeah, she's an OG.
She's seen it all.
Yep. Yeah. So, but there is a little factor of like, even for me, it was just like, you kind of not scared, but you're like, you know, literally one wrong step and you could be fucked. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you really have to, when you're out there, you have to take a step back and just be like, you can't just bull in a china shop through everything. You have to like really calculate.
Every move matters at that point.
It does. It really does, man.
That's interesting to think about, because there's some risky shit I do in the woods that I'm like, if I had to be
26 days for sure.
Yeah, if I was stuck out here a month, I probably wouldn't want to make this, like, jump over this log and balance here, because I could snap my leg in that V or something like that, you know? That's crazy to think about, man. Yeah, I've never experienced that feeling.
Fucking roll your ankle getting out of the plane.
Oh, dude, the guy in the plane is just like, you're fucked. It takes off.
Sorry. It sucks to suck.
It was halfway through the trip, noob. I think, and we had two boats with us. We weren't floating. We were on a big lake, so we had boats. And we had a boat. Lee and I did. Him and I were the producers, and Casey and Chris had a boat. And we were going behind Chris and Casey, and I was getting a shot. I was in the front of the boat filming, and Lee is driving. And it is cold as fuck. Like, when I mean cold, it's 12, 15 to 20 degrees every day. Like, that's what it's getting up.
You're
to,
not getting a break.
You know? No. So if you fall in the water, literally, I don't even know how long it would take. I mean, before hypothermia and stuff. So, I got the shoulder rig, and I'm filming with a FS7, just a big body camera. And Lee's going at a pretty good clip. And their wake from their boat in front of us, Lee was gonna be like, he was gonna try to cut that wake, like kind of go into their you know, into their pass, so it's not choppy.
Yeah.
When he did, I'm looking in the viewfinder, and we fucking hit that thing, and I jumped. I literally went basically out of the boat. There's a handle on the camera, and I had the handle, and it's like turning my hand like inward, kind of like if you had like a power, like cordless drill or something, you know, and it catches and it just like takes your hand out.
We've
it
all
was
been
like
there.
That.
Happened today.
I did it today. Yeah. And I fell basically. I was going out of the boat, and my left arm went into the water, and I hit my like my hip flexor on the side of the boat.
Oof.
And all I remember, because Casey was driving the boat up front, and Chris was looking back. I think that's how it was. Yeah. And then I remember, like, in the air, for some reason, I remember seeing Chris's face just go, oh, fuck. Like, he's like, you were gone. You were 100% gone. I fell. The camera did not fall in the water. Luckily, I didn't fall in the water. We stopped, and I looked at Lee. I wasn't pissed at him or nothing. We had done that all the last 2 weeks, and just one of these, you know, this was just a freak thing. And I'm like, that made me, like, holy fuck, you got to slow down a little bit. Like, you just got to
think about it. Ooh, man.
Yeah, really think about what you're doing, because that would have been, I mean, it would have took, if we could get a plane in there, it would have took an hour and a half to get me, you know, if we had to go somewhere and an hour and a half back somewhere else.
Well, not to mention, like, the cost of recording equipment.
Oh, yeah. And, like, the rig I was running was probably, I mean, 15 to 20 grand just in my shoulder.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck. Hey, how do you, when it's that cold and you guys are there that long, how do you keep your batteries charged? Is it all solar power? I've always been curious about that.
Ton of solar power. And we take a lot, like, the batteries that we use are usually bigger batteries. And, you know, obviously charging before you get in there, and just be really conscious of filming sparingly, you know,
So you got to be better, because you got to know, like, when to film and not when to film. Like, you're not just filming everything to chop later.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. You're really like what we like to call it is shoot to edit. You're shooting basically to what the editor, and that's what's good to be an editor while you're shooting. So you can see those things. Yeah. And it really helps you as a shooter or an editor, vice versa.
You know what to look for.
Man, that's interesting. That's a whole other can of worms I never think about.
But how was the fishing?
Fishing was unbelievable. Fishing, like, there was 2 days, I think, that we were like, okay.
Well, he almost went noodling.
Yeah, for sure. There was 2 days where we're like, okay, we're not going to do a fucking thing. We're just going to go fish and, like, have vacation day. And we took a Bluetooth speaker in with us. And we Bluetooth some, I mean, nobody's around us. And we listen to music and just fucking fish.
That's
awesome.
And
we ate a lot of fish, yeah.
Well, probably primarily fish, right?
That's all it was, really, yeah.
Do you guys see anything fucking creepy or weird out there? Like,
ooh, I like those questions. That's a good one.
That's a good question.
Creepy or weird, let me think.
Bigfoot?
Or like weird markings, like ritualistic.
Dude, I'm not gonna
lie.
I want to do whole podcasts on like Bigfoot or like weird experiences in the woods, but
finding rock circles and shit where no one's been for years.
I just feel like I'm the only cat interested. That's all right. Question to the listeners: if you want to hear us do a podcast about that, I just
give
feel
me a hell
like
yeah.
What a bunch of morons.
Yep.
But yeah, that is. I mean, you're out in the bush for that long. I've never had a weird experience. I mean,
dude, your mind's got to start playing tricks on you, too. You're out that isolated that far, dude. You got to start going a little insane.
Yeah.
Do you have fucked up dreams
morning.
Out there?
They're hearing some voices.
He wasn't out there for 5 years.
Dude, 26 days is a while.
It is
a
long time.
I bet you that seemed like a year, I bet.
Honestly, I didn't sleep the greatest. You know, it just, you don't really, like, fall asleep. Like, I mean, you fall asleep
God, that sounds
good
terrible.
Because...
You're fucking cold.
You fall asleep good because you're doing shit all day. So you're gassed.
You're tired.
Yeah. But mentally, you're not.
You're sleeping in survival mode because there's bears and shit.
Yep. And you get like unique ways. Like I took a pair of like base layers just to sleep in. And then I had an extra pair of base layers that I would, you know, go hunting in basically. But there wasn't anything weird on that trip other than Casey and I did get hunted by a bear. We thought, and it was a bear. We never saw it. It definitely could see us though. We do know that.
Stay away from bears.
No shit. Is there anything we've learned here on this podcast? Is you should
stay away from bears.
Talking about you.
The problem. I want to go on a bear hunt. I
would not recommend
it. I want to go kill one.
No kidding. Yeah, maybe that's what you need to do.
Yeah, the hunters become the hunted all the time.
For sure. That's all it is. But we had this high point Casey and I would go glass at every day. And we'd crawl up there, and we built a fire one day because it was so cold. And we stayed there, like, all day. And Casey had a bow. He was hunting with a bow. He had a gun, but we didn't have it with us. And we left that day, came back, and there was fresh shit right where our fire was.
Oh.
Fresh bear shit from that night. So we're like, okay. So Casey's like, just, you know, watch your back a little bit. You know, we'll stay here for a little bit. And, I mean, it was probably an hour later. There, we were in this kind of clear cut on a high point, and then about 20 yards from us, we were surrounded by bush. And we heard a twig snap, and basically just, you know, rummaging in the trees, and it got closer and closer. And when I see Casey start, because Casey and Chris are, like, some of the best survivalists. Like, legitimately, they are. But when you start seeing them
get
a little squirrely, it's like, oh, fuck. You know? So I remember looking at him, and he didn't say anything or nothing. All he had to do was just act different than I've never seen him before, and then that was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
This
it was so thick, this bear came out. We never saw it, like I said, but I mean, he was within 20 yards of us, and he tried getting down. One of us, you could hear him walking, but we could never see him because it was so thick. Ooh, and
that's sketchy.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, and he ended up working his way off, and we were like, okay, let's get down. Let's get out of here. So,
man, okay, that qualifies for that for Steve's question. That is spooky.
Yeah.
That's real life spooky.
Damn, dude, that's real life danger. Fuck, man.
But anything other spooky on any other hunts?
Oh, yeah, any other hunts?
You've been around the world, man. Is there any Bigfoot? Come on, let us know. The people need to hear.
I've never seen a Bigfoot. Never seen ghost? A Bigfoot. No ghost.
Fuck. Wait, he said never aliens? Seen a Bigfoot. He means singular. He's probably seen a family of them. He's holding on.
Beat the fuck out of him or something.
There's a pack up on the Yukon Northwest Territories border that just hang out there.
A pack.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows that.
It's a gaggle, really.
It's a gaggle of Bigfoot. It's a murder of Bigfoot.
A crew of Bigfoot.
A gang.
A gang.
A clique.
Yeah. Squad.
They out there.
The boys.
Foots.
Yeah, that's a dumb question, but you never know. Sometimes you get an interesting story for throwing that out there. We
do have a weird one, though, in Illinois. Ooh. Happened.
In Illinois?
Okay, I forgot about this. This was a meth head that scared
me. Illinois? Just like an alien.
This is already suspect.
Pretty elusive, yep. Too.
So that 9-point, that big deer, that 183 that we were hunting, one day we were hunting them, like I said, for like 18 days. On day 16 or 17, we were like, let's just sit in the truck from a distance and just glass one night and just see if we can see them come out in the field, and then we'll make a move. We're sitting there in the truck. Truck's running, colder shit out. And I'm not going to lie, we're just, you know, just hanging out, just talking, just waiting for those deer to walk out in this field, see if we can make a move. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. We're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you know, you guys live in Illinois. The roads there are fucking two tracks, and it's like, throw a dirt at the wall, let's put a road there. Like, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, and we're sitting there. We don't see people. You don't see cars over here on this piece of property. I'm kind of reclining in the chair, and a fucking knock at my window. And
oh, Jesus. Oh,
that would scare the fuck out of you.
Here is this human. He is like 5'5".
Is that what you want to call it?
He's like 5'5", not a tooth in his head. And he's got these raggedy clothes on, and he's got gray hair. And I didn't want to roll the window down. And he's like kind of signaling me to roll the window down. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to roll the window down. So I kind of like, I roll it down, and I'm like, okay, what's this guy going to do, I guess, unless he pulls a gun. And he goes, you guys got a smoke? And
I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, I said, where did you come from? And he goes, I live right there. Like, there's a patch of woods behind where the truck was, and there's literally a shed. It's a shed.
Yeah, that's Earl, dude. Earl's an award-winning meth cook, dude. Yeah, fuck. You should have said it was Earl. Fuck. Hell, that fucking guy.
Is that where Heisenberg's living? Or
no, they actually made that show after this guy because, you know, he's got no meth. Dude, you're trying to shoot deer that have more points than he has teeth in his head.
I was freaking out.
Was there a mailbox anywhere?
You got a smoke?
You get a smoke?
He's like, you got smoke or maybe some beer? And I look at Casey and I'm like, holy shit, what's going on? Still trying to figure out what's going on. And he's like, you got to smoke or beer? And we're like, no, we don't have either. And felt kind of bad for the guy. The guy sat there for over an hour just bullshitting with us.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's a big ginseng guy, so he goes on other pieces of people's property and steals ginseng. And he's just telling us all this. And so the next day, Casey and I went back and God, what was the town? And I know you guys are going to know the town because you guys have had the guy on your podcast that hunts around there. And I won't.
Call it out at the end of the show when we get done.
Yeah, yeah. So we stop at this little gas station or whatnot, and we grab a 30-pack of Busch Light and give him some smokes and put them right by the mailbox, and just just so he didn't scare the fuck out of us again. So, but yeah, that was weird. That was a weird one. I know it's probably hard to put yourself where I was at, but it was
that weird. That sounds like Illinois, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Dude,
that's
us. He's like Krampus of the woods. You just got to leave him smokes and beer. So it's like, yeah. Fuck out of your business.
Yeah, stay away from you.
Yep.
It's pretty easy to please.
I got you guys got to see something weird, though.
I don't have, now that I can think of, I don't have a weird story.
Oh, I saw something weird when we went out bow fishing the other night.
Yeah, but that's you, Steve. Steve
sees something weird every night.
There was fucking someone else. Dude, we saw this. I swear to God, dude, it was a black cat, it had to be, but it was fucking giant. It was like the size. It was big. Like, it was a monster. Like,
I'm not taking credit for the judgment of animals on
your
part.
Dude, all right, but ask. All right, we got to have Brandon on, and we'll talk about it, because we both saw it. We're like, what the fuck was
I would
like,
believe Brandon if he came in here.
This thing was a lot bigger. And, like, dude, it had to be a black cat. I'm like, it's dark out, dude.
So you're saying you saw a panther?
I mean, I'm not saying I saw a panther. I mean, more like a jaguar, but, you know. Dude, this fucker was big and it was black and it fucking took off. I'm like, dude, hopefully
you've been
like
watching too much fucking Tiger King. That's the problem.
Dude, that is your problem.
I don't know. Hey, was the guy actually one of Joe Exotic's husbands that you ran into?
It could have been. Fucking Carol Baskins or something.
Yeah, he's starting fucking to fit the description.
Okay, listen. Aaron just gave me a really incredible, detailed whitetail podcast. We bring him on our show and we're talking about Tiger King.
Tiger King.
Ask him about his meth head experiences.
It is what it is.
Hey, you knew what you were getting into. So I think this is the time to close her out on meth heads. Yeah. That's a perfect time.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for doing this on short notice. And thanks for having me on your show, man. I do appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to more episodes, brother.
Yeah, me too as well. Thank you guys very much. And hopefully I didn't just ramble too much and just talk about random shit.
Oh, no.
It was a good time, man.
Hey, you know what happens if people don't enjoy it? Fuck them.
Fuck you, Tom. Exactly. Tom. I call him Tom.
Don't be a Tom of the world.
Don't be a Tom. Yeah. Hit the thumbs up button. Just be a good person. Yeah. We do it for you.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.